Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Gopal from Agrotech Foods Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking the time out to be with us today. We've already uploaded the presentation for this quarter on our website, so I'm hoping that, you know, you all accessed it. If you haven't, if you could just, you know, open the website, and we'll start straight off with the, you know, with the business at hand. Our mission and vision is to be the best performing, the most respected foods company in India, and I believe that we believe as a management team that we are well on track to achieve that. From a quarter three perspective, if you could just go to slide number four in the presentation. We saw a steady foods growth in quarter three of about 10%, with year-to-date growth of 17%. Obviously, this year has a lot of ups and downs in terms of, you know, times when there was COVID, high bases of last year. Broadly speaking, I think we are okay as far as, you know, being in line with our goals of being able to deliver a 20%-25% growth in the foods business on an annual basis. Commodity inflation in quarter three was higher than we expected. Last quarter when we told you we expected a lower inflation in the back half of the year. We still do because there was a lot of inflation in quarter four of last year, right? That is when the commodity prices started really increasing. They started around October, and then it, you know, it reached to fairly high levels in quarter four and quarter one of this year. Raw material actually inflation did come down, right? There was some softening, but we saw more increased packaging inflation, right? Packaging material. That, I guess, is because of the price of food and subsequent impact of that, which has some amount of a lag effect. A little higher than we expected. We still expect quarter four to be lower, right? As of now, this is where we are. In terms of year-to-date edible oils GM, I think it's holding up well at about 55 crores. One of you had asked this question, you know, when we had told you at the middle of the year that we're on track, relative to where we were prior year, which is about 72 odd crores. If you look at this number, we seem to be tracking well to prior year, which is great. We're actually tracking very well on premium edible oils volume index also. We are at about 100 index, a little more than flat, maybe a 1% growth. This will be the first year actually after many years that we would be kind of able to hold up our volumes on premium edible oils versus the prior year, and as well be able to looks like being able to hold the gross margin as well. That's good because that's one big worry that is, you know, removed from our thinking, right? We obviously worry. We're prepared to worry also. You know, as so long that this is a figure that, you know, in a sense it was a leaky bucket. Clearly the pricing actions that we took in the back half of last year have given us the results that we wanted. Overall looking good. In terms of foods gross margin, this is lower by about 10.5 crores, and this really reflects a few things. Higher commodity prices or total input cost inflation, if you will, which is impacting us by about 24.5 crores on a year-to-date basis. We've taken price increases which amount to about 7 crores in the first nine months. Volume growth, which is still robust, is given us another 7 odd crores. That leaves a net deficit versus last year of about 10.5 crores. We are going to continue to manage it. We've taken pricing. We will see there's a lot more conversation about margin in our even in our this presentation, which we'll walk you through today. We are focused on it. At the same time, we don't want to do anything silly in terms of pricing, which will jeopardize the core ingredient of our 20%-25% growth that we need on the foods business and have been delivering. As you all know, we talked about this in late November. We exited from the Crystal brand from selling it ourselves into a franchise model from November first as planned, and therefore those sales are not included. We obviously fully expect to be able to make up these revenues both in terms of the foods growth. In fact, just in terms of the foods growth itself, we should be able to make up the lost revenues. Year-to-date, SG&A is pretty much flat to prior year, with the exception of higher CSR provisioning and royalty. There was a doubtful debts provision in the prior year of about 3.5 crores, so that kind of offset the travel cost and any other increases that we are seeing in SG&A. And as a consequence, PBT and PAT are down about 15% and 17% versus prior year. Okay, so if you could just go now to page 6, this is the ready-to-cook category. So, you can see here that we, in quarter three, our volume was up about 5% and value was up about 8%. So this reflects really the pricing that we executed in the non-10 rupee packs in terms of popcorn, right? All the other packs, which is instant popcorn at 30-33, and also microwave popcorn from about, say, 70-72. Right. Give me a moment. My computer has just decided to sleep. So yeah, okay. So there's definitely some softening that we've seen in RTC popcorn growth rate. I don't think it's as much as it is reflected in this chart. We think we are probably getting about 8%-10% growth right now, because November was very soft, and as it was for us and for many other companies in categories. So, but it is less than what it was, you know, from the peaks that we saw in quarter one during the second wave and also last year, right? So we think we are still in good shape as far as closing this year is concerned, in terms of a good growth rate in the mid-teens, in terms of volume and definitely in terms of value as well. Our bigger concern going forward into next year is, how will next year pan out? Because as schools and all start to open, children are not going to be that much at home, and what impact that has on consumption is something that we cannot forecast very accurately at this stage, which is kind of what we expected from this year. When we did our planning this year, we had assumed a mid-single-digit growth from a budgeting perspective, which obviously came out to be much better because COVID continued for a longer period of time, right? So we believe the introduction of our Mini Wheel Kits is very well timed to therefore sustain this growth rate, a strong growth rate next year, right? If we're already at about 8%-10%, let's see, you know, how that plays out over the next quarter or so, and then we should be able to add the incremental basis points that we require for this category through the expansion of our Mini Meal Kits. And for now, the focus is on pasta. We've introduced pasta and noodles as well. We think that will be, you know, that will be a relatively small and niche player, but pasta is a big winner, and we have full capability to expand this category. So I'm gonna touch upon that a little later, if you see on the fourth section. We had to take some pricing increase calls. So rather than taking price increases on our strategic products like instant popcorn at 10 rupees, where we want to continue to sustain the growth rate that we've had over the last couple of years, we chose therefore to take it on some of the other, if you will, the side players in the category. And we were fairly aggressive in sweet corn. We took a 40% price increase in this category from, say, 20 to 28. We don't think actually we've lost any consumers because of it, but it has probably reduced the rate of new consumer and new customer acquisition. So that doesn't mean it's not growing. It's still growing and continue to grow. It's just that probably the growth rate that we could have had at 20 rupees, we'll have a lower growth rate at 28, but it'll continue to be a good business for us. We are obviously working to address the GM percentage attrition. We still have to address that 10.5 crores of in popcorn. We've taken some amount of pricing, but we are not going to take more pricing right now. But we are also going to focus in terms of product, in terms of what we can do, our procurement strategy, and to be able to therefore, you know, give us the margin improvement that we would like next year in percentage terms. And I talked about pasta. I think our rollout of differentiated pasta, which is supported by retail demos, has very, very positive acceptance. So I'll share with you some learnings that we've had on pasta. We initially thought that, you know, it's a very large market, and that it is, pasta is an extremely large market. But actually, instant pasta is not that big. Instant pasta is actually, from whatever we are understanding now, is actually smaller than our popcorn business, right? And we believe the reason for that is the current players, the two major players in the category, have actually not been very focused on the category. But also in terms of product architecture, they've kind of applied a noodle architecture to pasta. Now, it's okay to have a noodle with a seasoning sachet, et cetera, et cetera, but we don't think it works very well for a pasta, and each category is different, right? So our differentiated offering, which has a wonderful sauce along with the pasta, we think is really an absolute blockbuster. It's doing very well, and it gets a very, very good consumer response. And we obviously fortunate that the two major competitors in this category are not focused behind the category. They are more focused on the noodle world, and that works very well for us. So, for example, I was in Guwahati last month, and we were doing some demos in Guwahati They had a very large bakery. I forget which one. Sushita Bakery or something. Anyway, and we were there till about 8:30 at night, all of us, you know, 7-8 of us. And there happened to be one of our competitors, salesman, who happened to be there. And the retailer was pulling his leg and saying, you know what, you don't do this activity on pasta. And, you know, he said, pasta focus no hobby. That's why we are not focused on pasta. Which I think sums up in a very simplistic manner what is the opportunity. We believe we have great retail demonstration capability. We built the popcorn business on the back of that. So we think we can actually grow the instant pasta business, not through a lot of money, not by spending a lot of money, but simply the way that we built our RTC popcorn business and our peanut butter business, and it will certainly be a very, very good contributor to growth. So from an FY23 planning perspective, I think we are in good shape. We expect to be able to sustain the kind of growth rates that we have right now on a year-to-date basis. We will be prepared for some possible softening in the growth rate of popcorn as children return to school, and we'll see how that goes. But meanwhile, we'll take all the actions on the other fronts, which includes sweet corn, which includes pasta, which includes pad thai noodles, and very soon we'll also be launching a chow mein hakka noodle offering, right? So all of these differentiated offerings in good shape, and therefore should be able to give us the desired growth rate that we want in next year. And that's the key, really. There has been gross margin attrition this year, and most food companies have seen that. But I think next year, there's a room for a lot of gross margin expansion, driven by volume, as all of us come out of this COVID wave, right, and are able, or the two-year pandemic, and are able to drive volume, take some actions on further margin improvement, and that will give us a significant expansion of gross margin. So overall, therefore, looking good. All right. Ready to eat snacks? You can clearly see the impact. Actually, the numbers here are almost a mirror image of the RTC business as economies open up. So we've seen a huge acceleration in the growth rate. You can see it's up about 32% on a quarter three basis and 20% on a year-to-date basis, and mostly driven by RT popcorn. So of the three categories that we compete in, RT category now, RT popcorn accounts for the dominant share of the revenues from the RT snacks category. And that makes sense because, you know, we have competitive advantage, we source a lot of popcorn, and we have a national presence. And we are clearly the leader at a national level in the category. So there are a number of players. There still are people, particularly focused around Delhi. But I would say two things have happened to strengthen our position in RT popcorn. One is that the GST rate, which earlier many of our competitors were charging at 12%, they were forced to take it up to 18%, post some clarifications from the tax department. And second is that obviously COVID had an impact on all the people who were trying to play from out of home to make some money there to invest in the retail business. So the combination of these two, I think, has put us in a very solid position, and it's great. I mean, you know, the number of trucks that we are shipping out is great today, and all direct from the chef from the factory. The GM attrition in this category has largely been addressed. We have a lot of gross margin attrition because, you know, there is cost of product, there's cost of palm oil, packaging, etc. But more or less, we were able to take some bold decisions. We took some pricing, we took some grammage reduction, and also took some packaging footprint changes. So mostly that part is done. Now, further margin improvement we are going to do through value-added offerings. So as we told earlier, we'll be working on an extruded pan proposition and also protein chips, which are planned for the first half of FY23. All right. And on potato chips, our learning continues. As we told you earlier, potato is a tough commodity and people have lost a lot of money in the past. There are listed companies you can check. And so we are developing our business model, and we will work is underway to leverage our low-fat proposition. Flat-cut chips category seems to be growing faster than Ridge, as reflected in the recent Lay's launch, and this is a statement that they have made in the press. So overall, I think ready-to-eat snacks doing very well. As the economy opens up, we expect to have continued strong momentum into the new year as well. We have all our plants in place, everything is looking perfect, and in the core and strategic popcorn business, we're obviously in very good shape. We are now working on the tortilla chips to be able to strengthen our position. There are some actions that they've taken already now, and we look forward to some very good and heavy growth next year. All right. Then if you can just go to page 8, this will need some time, so I'm going to spend a few minutes on this. If you recall, at the end of quarter one, when we had a volume growth of 12% and a value growth of 15%, we had called out, and, you know, growth rates were looking good. But we said, you know, looking at the June numbers, when we looked at them and talked in July, we said we think we've lost share. And we certainly think we have lost some share, but probably it is not as much as we thought, because it looks like the category actually also didn't grow as we would have liked it to grow in the year. So quarter three, you can see is, you know, our volumes are actually on spreads lower than last year, -3 and -7, right? And there's some amount of spread growth built into that. So you can say, let's say, the peanut butter is probably -4 or -4.5 or something like that, right? But we've taken the necessary pricing actions. It takes some time because it's a single plant. We keep stock in the factory. But we keep stock at the national level because it's a single plant, so it does take some time and a lot of SKUs. But wherever we've executed our pricing, the results are excellent, right? So, for example, in modern trade, and generally pricing tends to flow through modern trade much faster because there's much less inventory, right? Goods are going, stock is going directly from your warehouse to the customer's warehouse, and it's on the shelf in a couple of days, right? So since once by July or August, when we had taken our calls on what we want to do, and by the time we would have executed it in the plant, by November, December, the new price has started flowing through on the modern trade. And in the modern trade customers, and this includes, I won't give the customer's name, but it includes a mix of probably our largest brick-and-mortar customer, our largest cash-and-carry customer, and our largest e-commerce customer. We have an increase in where we first corrected our 508-gram bottle, we reduced to 462, also reduced the price to 175. We've got our November, December averages are almost between 21% and 33% over the Jan-October averages, right? Now, that doesn't mean suddenly the business is going to start growing at 25%-30%, but it means that the strategy is working, right? What will be the final number? We'll see how it pans out. But quarter four should look better than quarter three. And after that, I think these immediate actions will enable us to get to like a good double-digit, get us to a good double-digit growth next year. So that sluggish volume performance, we believe we've taken an immediate short-term action on that. But there's more work to be done, and I'll explain why. The industry data that we've got for 2021, and that's for the calendar year 2021, Jan to December, right, indicates that the category grew by about 10% versus the prior year, i.e. versus 2020. However, this category growth is not very different from 2020 over 2019, which is also 10%, right? So that's one part. And second is, it actually showed us an increase in ADHO share. It's a small increase, but it's showing that increase in calendar year. And that actually makes sense from a calendar year perspective, because our shipments on, while this is for the fiscal year, this data, our data for the calendar year also indicates a growth in shipments which is close to the 10% mark, right? So it's believable on a calendar year basis, right? But there are two important conclusions, therefore, if you look at our data and you look at this data, is one is clearly the higher category spends have had no impact on growth rates. We spend about 6 crores a year. As you see from the comparative spends, those charts later, you mean Hindustan Lever spent about 40 crores in the year. So the spends went up from 6 crore to 46 crores. In other words, almost 8 times, right? But no impact on the growth rate, right? So many of you ask this question, you know, and I keep having to, I answer it, and it's okay. It's a conversation that I enjoy having, is, you know, why don't you spend more? What happens more A&P? I remember even at the board, you know, when we were having these conversations, you know, we said, okay, but if HUL comes in, they'll spend more money. Will the category grow faster? The answer is no, right? There is only one way, in our opinion, to grow categories, and of course to grow them profitability, which is our way, which is like ready-to-cook popcorn, we've built the category, peanut butter, we've built the category. So just coming in and spending a boatload of money doesn't really impact the growth rate either, right? And frankly, it doesn't even impact share that much, because in our assessment, even though HUL has spent the money, by now they would have spent cumulatively about probably 55, 60 crores. You know, the return on that investment is very low, because the revenue that they are generating is going to be very low, right? We are in the market, and we have been, you know, seeing across the country, and I personally have seen in towns which range from Surat to Hyderabad to Guwahati, and it's a very limited distribution of the product. So undoubtedly it will grow, and you know, but it is certainly not what I would have expected, and that makes sense, because I can tell you that when I was sales director of Procter & Gamble, it used to be really difficult to actually make a large organization and a large field force make successful initiatives which are very small in relative to the total size of price of all the initiatives, right? So I would say overall, therefore, two conclusions. One is, you can make the same conclusion, no impact on growth rate of the category. We still, I think from a category growth rate, need to build distribution, get the right consumer packs in, get the acquisition at the consumer acquisition at the right price. Just bear with me for a minute and, right. And the second is, since our calendar year shipments are not very different from this 10%, it looks like we must have lost share in the back half of 2021, which makes sense because it's about June or so that we figured that, you know, we had some problems as far as share is concerned. So we've already taken some pricing actions, and as we mentioned, we are now doing further things. I'm still on page 8. Through our new product price architecture, we'll be launching a high protein variant very soon to be able to handle the top end of the market, which will be differentiated product from our current product. Our recipe base, we will continue to drive with mass media as we are doing right now, and we have also introduced a value offering, which is really offering pure value. So we will segment the peanut butter market into three pieces and attack all of them. And we feel therefore that more or less we're in good shape in terms of the actions that we require to take as far as FY 2023 is concerned, to be able to get back to that, you know, 15-odd% growth that we require. Because we require enough to get 20%-25% of the total business, we still require our bigger, larger businesses to keep growing, categories to keep growing at 15%. So that's true for ready-to-cook also, and that's true for spreads also. And we are also addressing the peanut butter margin, right? Because there is some margin impact of the pricing that we've taken. So we are making some recipe and some process modifications. We are reviewing our procurement strategy, how can we buy cheaper? And also we expect to get operating leverage gains because it's our own plant and, you know, we have a certain fixed level of costs which are associated with it. So as we push through volume, we'll definitely get that margin enhancement. We had this challenge about 4-5 years ago on the 1 kg pack when we had introduced it. We had followed the same strategy, and we had got similar gains in operating leverage. So no problem, and overall, therefore, we feel comfortable. Chocolate spread gaining momentum. We spend, as you know, no money really on this from an advertising perspective and don't intend to also in the near term, but the business is gradually growing month-on-month and is coming to a reasonable size. All right. So if you could just go to page 9 of the presentation now, and we cover our breakfast series. You can see here continued strong growth of about 45% in margin, 28% year to date. Don't read too much into the quarter-on-quarter figures in this particular case, as the business is small, and it depends on what was happening last year in the same quarter. What is like, for example, during the first phase of COVID, we probably didn't ship too much into the market, right? We would have prioritized other products in that period. So because this was a new one, so just I would say read that from this, just read that, you know, it's a decent odd growth, strong growth, in terms of 40-45% of volume. Value growth is lower because we also got a 5 rupee offering with a shelf product, which is a bit like the Kellogg's chocolate product. The other big thing that we are doing is we've started increasing our focus on larger packs. So initially, our play was more in cereal snacks because, you know, we are a snacks company, and that's where we had advantage. But now we've got the supply chain smooth, everything done. So we started moving into the formal breakfast cereal category. So if you go into the market today, you'll see more box packs of ours, larger packs, and, you know, we're starting to play where the category is. Here, the raw material inflation, frankly, has not been so much as it has been in the salty part because that is influenced by palm oil. But we continue to work on margin improvement. We are now producing this in 3 plants, and this will come through volume growth and operating leverage, because obviously, as we push more volume through these plants, operating leverage will happen. We are also doing a phased introduction of oats in quarter four, so you'll start to see that, depending on where you are. The strategic intent really here is supporting our Sun-Drop Hard edible oils franchise. So once you see the execution later in the first in the April call or maybe in the after first quarter, we'll be able to give you more details of this. So it's not that we are spending a lot of organizational energy behind it, but the strategic intent includes supporting the Sun-Drop Hard edible oils franchise, how to grow the distribution of Sun-Drop Hard edible oils, right, on an ongoing basis. Now our pricing is right, everything is perfect, so we can be more comfortable with that. So you'll see that execution playing out over the next 6 months. And also improve procurement of hearts. We also use oats and granola. And one of the things is when you buy more and more oats, then our granola profitability will also increase. So these two are our strategic intent. Other than that, we'll have a cautious approach to it, but you can expect to start seeing it. And we are on track for a very profitable business in FY 2023. So that's good. But as of now, we don't intend to advertise it because we started test advertising of chocolates this month. So because we feel more comfortable now about gross margin expansion in the coming year, and we will be advertising chocolates next year. So as of now, there is no plan to advertise this category. We'll get it to a decent size, as we always told you. We need a 20-25 crore business, at least in sight, to be able to do that. And once we get that, we'll talk more about it. Okay. Chocolates, you can see continued strong growth, steady growth, month on month, every month. Our whole product proposition is absolutely outstanding and definitely meeting the unmet consumer need of a center-filled coconut chocolate. We've also commenced testing of Peanut Duo, so this is not so available on a broad scale basis, but we've started testing it, you know, because to feel the waters, next 9 to 12 months we'll test it so that it can be a big driver for us in FY24. For those of you who bought our Coconut Duo bar, you would have seen there used to be a tray inside it. We've removed that because that costs money. It costs about 55-60 paisa. And so there's almost like, with all the changes that we are making, there's almost 1,000 basis improvement in margin by, you know, through these tweaks. So that's the largest selling SKU today. So that's done. And now we would expect to see further margin improvement as we scale up, right? We currently have one line. With the use of the cold seal that we are doing now, the amount of labor that we are going to use in the plant is going to be reduced. After that, when we put the second line in the same location, the HVAC expenses will come down. Overall, also, there will be less supervisory labor. So we are working on all of that to be able to make chocolate a profitable business, right? So there will be further improvement in the coming year. We expect to double the capacity from the current capacity in Sem-1 in the first half of next year, and then again double it in the second half of next year. So that's why we mentioned last quarter, we said, you know, we'll be doing almost quarterly. We started TV advertising in January on a test basis, South Indian states and Marathi channels. And we are going to just start refining our plan, how is it working, so that we can rapidly scale this big business up to about 100 crore business in a couple of years, right? Maybe in 2 years, something like that. So this can be a big growth driver. What is the exact revenue, how that plays out is obviously going to be dependent on the execution and how different things plan. But you can expect, therefore, from our planning perspective, that in FY23, we will be seeking to get a significant part of our growth from chocolates, right? And we would also be investing behind the chocolate category. Okay? All right. Then we, if you can just go to page 11. edible oils, you can see premium edible oils up about 11% in the quarter in volume. And we're concentrating on volume because value is only a function of the pricing. So actually in commodity businesses, the value is not so relevant, meaning any type of this, our type of commodity, which goes up and down in terms of market pricing, but it's about 11%, and mass oil, we have obviously exited crystal, so it's down -67%. Sundrop premium oils, hard and super light, delivering now a year-to-date 100 plus index, reflecting impact, as I mentioned earlier, of the pricing realignment in FY21. But I think, prima facie, you could argue, have we gained share in quarter three? It's possible we have, We will see the numbers of what our competitors publish later when their results are issued. But I think we still want to see greater consistency across channels and quarters, right? So you know we'd like to before we say okay, you know, we are growing share and you know we are going to get huge volumes, I would not lead into that. I would just say that looking at this data, we seem to be pretty much out of the woods as far as the premium oil challenges that we had in the last 5-6 years. And we are therefore no longer in a situation that we get worried that, you know, if premium oils doesn't respond like A, B or C, we will have to cut our advertising behind foods, which we had to do for a couple of years, for 2-3 years. I think that part the company has now kind of, that bridge the company has crossed, also because a dominant part of the gross margin now comes from the food business. Overall strong gross margin performance in oils with the year-to-date GM now, and this is total for both premium and mass, about 55 crores. Last year full year was 72. So it looks like we are on track to have a kind of similar figure. Mass oils volume reflects franchising of Crystal with effects in November and overall reduction of mass oils in line with strategy. Okay. So comparative update, basically, and if you go to page 13, you'll see that, you know, really Bingo is the dominant brand. We did not advertise in October, November. We mentioned this to you in our November call as well, that we wouldn't be advertising those 2 months. And, you know, this is also how, so we can better manage the entire P&L. And I would say, you know, that's okay. However, we intend to be on air in both January and February. You can expect when we do the April review that we would have invested. Just trying to balance profitability by continuing, stay very, very laser-focused on the fact that we have to get that 20%-25% growth rate next year. In terms of spreads, which is page 14, you can see again, same thing. We didn't spend Sunrock Peanut Butter. We didn't spend in October, November. Unilever actually did spend, but they did cut back in December. I'm sure there must be some P&L considerations there as well. Overall, otherwise, not much to report from a category perspective. Page 15 on breakfast cereals. We, of course, are not here because we are not spending. The good news for us is that Kellogg's has started advertising Choco Pulse, which is the centerfold product, and that will help us also in our as we grow Sunrock Pulse. It's always good to have that category, at least awareness being raised. That's good. That's good for us. Chocolates, competitive spend, which is page 16. Not much to report here. Mondelez really remains the dominant spender in this category, and everybody else is definitely, if you will, second fiddle. When we do the April spending, you will see that our name will also appear here in the month of January. Okay. Edible oils, that is page 17. Obviously, we've not been spending. Clearly, the share of premium edible oils is coming down. You can see that. Our competitor in premium edible oils also seems to be spending at a somewhat lower rate in the quarter. Overall, mass oils continue to be the dominant spender. This, if you see, we've pointed this out to you over a five, seven-year period, or if you take it from FY12, it's almost now a 10-year period. The share of mass oils has grown, and it will only continue to grow further. That consistent with our view that edible oils is a category with inherently low moats and low pricing power as compared to processed foods, particularly processed foods, not the commodity side of it. Therefore, you can expect this to happen. Okay. On noodles, a reasonable amount of action. Both Nestlé and ITC maintain their, this is page 18. I would say both Nestlé and ITC have maintained their spending momentum. We see Marico actually lowering their spend, so let's see how that plans out. Okay. Pasta is basically Kea, which has invested some amount behind the Pringles unit. That's page 19. Page 20 on soups, really Knorr remains the dominant spender. They have a strong share of category. We'll update you in due course on our plans as far as this category is concerned. Summary and way forward, therefore, premium edible oil is trending well to prior year, confirming the impact of price reductions on FY21. Business now at about 100 on index points and volume, so seems to be in decent shape. We need to ensure that we make the right choices over the next couple of months in balancing growth with short-term profitability. We've done some A&P cuts in quarter three, but growth will clearly be the priority. Continue to focus on addressing the inflationary challenge in RTC popcorn, right? We have to keep working on that. That's good. Sometimes when there's such high inflation, it forces you to look at things which otherwise you may not have looked at in that much detail with the best of intentions. Peanut butter. We will address the category growth, so share challenges in peanut butter through the actions that I talked about in terms of the bifurcation of the peanut butter market and addressing each of those segments individually. Also, if the category growth is 10%, that is of concern to us because we would like this category to be growing at 15%-20% for us to grow the business at 15%-20%. We are working on that. I think by about middle of next year, you'll see some actions from our side where we would have actually been able to take actions to drive this category. The key really is in India, we have seen continuous growth comes if you offer the right packs to consumers at the right price and at affordable rates, right? If you sell products at 500-1,000 rupees a kilo, it's tough, right? You may spend a lot of advertising money, but it's not going to give you any return, right? We need to balance it. Clearly, the sweet spot in India is always at about 250-350 rupees a kilo, kind of in terms of pricing, but with the right smaller cashing points. That's what we're going to try and see. Currently, our lowest cost peanut butter offering is, if you exclude the sachet packs, is at about 50 rupees for 100 grams. That's 500 rupees a kilo. That's a little on the high side. We're going to see what architecture we can deploy to be able to improve our offering there. We intend to close there in a profitable manner in FY22 whilst ensuring that all the building blocks are there for a foods growth of 20%-25% in FY23, which will give us the gross margin expansion that we want. All right. That's it. Ma'am, that's it. Over from our side, the presentation. We're happy to take questions now until 3:00.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Sachin. Thanks for the opportunity. I have three questions. The first question is where you ended, you are expecting about 20-25% growth. If you can give me some more qualitative things, last 1.5-2 years, you have built the product portfolio. You have now very solid understanding. You have a very lean manufacturing. And it's the best insight I would think the management would have had the capability. Why would you restrict the growth at 20-25%, especially when the markets are going to open up, schools are going to open up? And I think the whole lot of activities will start reflecting into the livelihood of people. The second question is on the chocolate business. Somewhere you have mentioned on slide 9 that you are trying to build a rapid business around 100 crore. What are the bottlenecks you think at this point of time? Is it purely a manufacturing which you are now sorting out, or is it that you need to develop the product profile also? And the last part, you have rightfully sold Crystal, but what is it that you can expect on the edible oil part in terms of not per se the volume proposition or value proposition, but how would you maintain the profitability or expand, especially when the competitive scenario is going to change drastically?
Okay. Thank you, Shirish. So we'll take them one at a point. Sure. Look, if we can do more than a 20-25% growth rate, that's great, right? I mean, obviously, nobody's going to say no to that. And in fact, from a capacity planning perspective, honestly, to deliver 20-25%, you need to plan 30-35% growth rate, right? Because, and the reason for that is, there are always uncertainties, right? We make assumptions about different categories. We make assumptions about the environment. We make assumptions about competitors. And if you just budget exactly to that level, you could be wrong. You may not have capacity in the items that you have. For example, if you look last year, our popcorn business grew by an incredible amount, right? 35% odd. Now, if you don't have the capacity at that point, there is no way that you're going to realize it. Particularly when, as you know, we deal primarily in proprietary products where we want to have some differential, right? We don't want to, we're not a the believer that, you know, we will take outsourced products and just spend advertising money and it will do the job. It doesn't do the job. In fact, peanut butter is a great example of that in the conversation that we've had today, right, for our competitors. So the answer is yes, our capacity planning will definitely be ahead of that. But I think from a financial perspective, what we've seen is 20-25% growth gives us exactly, I mean, it gives us a beautiful structure as far as a P&L is concerned, okay? And gets us right on track to be at that $1 billion business that we'd like our business to be. Okay. In terms of the chocolate business, look, we are new kids on the block. Okay. We have to develop credibility. In every category, each player has to have credibility, right? And he must be accepted by, he or she must be accepted by everybody as, yes, this person is a credible player. We have a lot of credibility with our customers because we built many categories, right? We built ready to cook popcorn, we built ready to eat popcorn, we built peanut butter. So we have a lot of credibility, right? But we need to capture that credibility in the chocolate business. Also, we start off very low. We start off with smaller numbers because, you know, we buy a lot of used equipment, combine it with some new equipment. So yes, at this point in time, the challenges are more on manufacturing, but you never know how much you are underselling until you reach that point. You never know that, right? So we've all been sales managers, so we understand that part. So I would say right now we are making the assumption that we need a lot of capacity, and that's a reasonable assumption because the product is a blockbuster, right? And that is why we said we are working to build the capacity. With the quadrupling of capacity, we'll have a capacity to make a 80-100 crore business, right, in chocolates. So we're going to put that in place next year. Then we'll see. We don't know at which stage we'll reach what bottleneck. We get some pushback. We need to modify. Maybe we need, like next year, we're trying to spend some money. So I would say first step is we are going to increase the capacity, and then we'll see how it goes. But certainly, as I said many times earlier, this is not even a 100 crore business. This category is going to be at least 500-700 crores, maybe more than that. That's our math, looking at how the coconut center-filled product is there in markets across the world, like say the U.K., from whatever published information we can get. And we are in a great business, in great position as far as the product is concerned. I'll give you an example. Our math is that in some of the modern trade customers where we sell the product, and we've seen the data, our data and Bounty data, we are already at about 35-odd% of Bounty's value. And because they are more than double our price, that means basically in volume, we must be almost selling in those stores as much as Bounty does. And that is in those stores, right? So clearly, I think we've cracked it. It's a great product, and we will do whatever is required. But I won't have all the answers for you today. I can't have it, logically. In terms of the Crystal, yes, Crystal is we chose the timing, and we've chosen it such that we can comfortably recover the revenue loss from it while we continue to get the profit. And in terms of the premium oils, I think we're in a very happy space, to be honest, right? You can see the quarter numbers. You can see the year-to-date figure, right? Let's assume you discount the quarter growth of 11%, and you say it's due to some one-timers and other things. And that's fair because it's a single quarter. So but let's say we are kind of flat versus prior year. That's great because you see our competitors have had a good party for the last couple of years because we had to price higher. We needed the margin. We needed to invest behind the food business, which we've done, right? So that party is kind of over, right, if you will. And we are now in a very happy space where we are competitively priced. And we think if we are competitively priced and we do all the other things that we do on the rest of the business, right, which is grow distribution, grow display, we are actually going to be able to actually have a nice business. And as I talked about oats, we'll see how to manage, use other categories to be able to support it, and we will, I think, be in a very good shape. Okay? So yeah, that's it, Shirish. But thank you for asking the questions. Appreciate it, man. Cheers.
Thank you, Sachin.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Chirag Maru from Keynote Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Maru. We're not able to hear you clearly. Can you speak a bit louder?
Louder now?
Much better. Please proceed.
Okay. So my question is that it is commendable to see that in the last 12 quarters, we are able to double our food business top line on a quarterly basis. And our oil business is almost stable. So now I understand that as we are exiting the Crystal business, there would be a direct impact on our gross margin, and we would see a better gross margin coming forward. But as we increased our revenue from food business from 27% to almost 42% now, we are still not able to see any improvement in gross margin. I just wanted to know a reason behind that. What is the reason why we are not able to improve our gross margin? Second, sir, it's a request that as now our food business has become a bigger chunk of the total top line, will it be possible for you to give us separate segmental results where we can find how are we performing in food businesses and how are we doing in our oil businesses? That's all from my side.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chirag. Right? So yeah, the first answer is I think you start to see the gross margin now, right? So look at it like this. In FY21, when we had a very, very, very good growth as far as the food business is concerned, we chose that timing also to take a price reduction on oils, right? So we got this huge margin expansion on the food business, which I think went up from whatever, I think 70 crores to about 108 crores in that year. But he also chose to take that impact on oil because we wanted to get that business in a shape where we don't worry about it. There's no sleepless nights. It's done. It's dusted. And it looks like that has paid off. Okay. This year, you can see that while we had relatively benign commodity prices last year, this year the commodity inflation has been significant. Correct? So while we are holding on to the oil margin, this year the commodity price inflation, and obviously we are also running to keep pace with it. We are making up a part of it. We haven't made up all of it, right? For the better part of this year, we had crystal in our records, all right? So, but now you start to see the percentage gross margin. So we were just talking to our credit company the other day, and we were reviewing the December P&L with them, and the percentage gross margin expansion is very visible there, all right? So you will see the gross margin expansion as we in aggregate for the total company, I would say, I think for the, and that's not to be taken as a number for the month, but for the month of December or in total, but I think for the month of December, it was almost at 300 basis points, right? Because you have all the revenues from Crystal which are not there. You have the margin which is there by way of the franchising fee, and you have the other pieces of the business also working okay. The other thing, and the third impact on gross margin in terms of percentage terms, is our premium edible oil prices, right? Premium edible oils tend to move up and down. The higher the price, it has a deflationary impact on percentage gross margin, right? As prices come down, the gross margin percentage increases, right? And we would expect that next year will be softer. Already it has become softer than what it was. So that also has a positive impact as far as total percentage gross margin is concerned. Okay, so let's see let's look at the results over next quarter, and you should see a change in quarter four versus say quarter three. That should be visible, right? And it will all flow through. Yes. So the theoretical assumptions that you said are correct, and they will play out. It's just that there are different factors why it has not been visible in FY21 because of the oil decision, and in FY22 because of the inflation, commodity inflation. Right. And as far as food is concerned, no. Because you see, we have a consolidated definition, because food is the operating segment of the company. And as you know, we have to disclose also to the street exactly how we see it. And we also see it like this. Whatever we tell you is the way we see it, the way management sees it, right? So we actually go and do a separate P&L for the food business, right? If you recall, I think sometime last year, I'd shown you what I said was a structural P&L of how it would look, right? Just to give an idea. But obviously, it's a very nice margin, and it's a nice business, and it's headed towards the kind of business that you want it to be with a strong EBITDA margin, okay? All right. Thank you, Chirag. Thank you for asking questions. Appreciate it. Take care. Have a good day, man. Cheers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivank Agarwal from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I have few questions. I will list all of them at once. Question 1. We don't know that you buy Nielsen data and only share annual numbers, but could you please share some qualitative insights for the distribution reach in the number of stores for the branded food business? Question 2. What headwinds are we facing in the spread and dip category? When can we expect at least 10% volume growth in the same given the intense competition in this space, especially peanut butter and chocolate spread, given we are dominant brand in the same and even our price is very competitive?
Okay, I captured two questions there. One was on the, on the distribution, and second was on the spread. Was there a third question also?
No, sir.
Okay, good. Just give me a moment. Shinu, I think my pen seems to have run out of ink, so you can just ask for the two. Give a pen here, huh? Okay, thanks. All right, okay. So on distribution, let's see what all. I think we owe it to you to be able to give you some perspective on distribution. All right. So let me just give that those numbers to you. Broadly speaking, we have a coverage today of about close to 450,000 stores. Okay, in terms of total retail coverage, right? So these are the retailers that we cover directly. It does not include the retailers who are, what's it called, who are serviced through wholesale. Okay? And of this, our estimate is, and as per our internal reporting, our active instant popcorn would be distributed in about 270,000 stores. Right? This figure used to be in the low 2 lakh 30, 2 lakh 40 till 2 years ago, and now we think it's about close to 2 lakh 70,000 stores. Ready-to-eat popcorn is the next largest direct distribution. That is about 1 lakh 20,000 stores as per our internal reporting. Our total distribution of ready-to-eat popcorn, I think, will be much more. We don't buy Nielsen, but a lot of it goes through wholesale. So our indirect coverage, I think, will be very high on this one, right? And peanut butter will be probably about 90,000 stores. Okay, so these would be the key distribution figures for our mainline products. In terms of the spread business, no, it should be much more than 10%. We are not happy with each of our categories has to grow at 15% plus our base categories, and then the new ones like chocolate, breakfast cereals will grow much faster than that to be able to give us that, you know, the blended growth that we need of about 20 to 25%. So our expectation is that by next year we will be working on the kind of growth that we've had in the past, right? We'll be working to see how we can, you know, get up to that 15% growth. No, and I think we'll get there, but it's just that how much time we have to do this pricing work, then we have to do the architecture work, and then we have to do the consumer acquisition work. So these three pieces of work we are underway, and I think we are. We will get there. Obviously, the main competitive advantage that we have is we have our own plant, right? Which nobody else has, right? None of the other players have it. We all rely on third parties, like all of them. So, we are therefore, we feel that we can leverage that value. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Aspi Basania from ABN Company. Please go ahead.
So thanks for giving me an opportunity. So early on peanut butter 924 gram container, it used to be mentioned MRP 485. 485 used to be cancelled and 285 was mentioned. Whereas now MRP has been reduced to 300 and on JioMart it is available for 270. So that now it is available on JioMart at below our 2 year old MRP. Have you not taken any price hikes in last 2 years in spite of such high inflation? So only one question.
Only one question? Okay.
Yes,
so
sir.
The answer to this, thank you. So the answer is no, actually. I think you will find website where if you go to Big Basket, you will find our 924 gram pack is 240 crossed out 228. Okay? At least that's what I said when I checked yesterday. So our current MRP on the 924 gram is about 240 rupees, right? So what we've done, and this the pricing in the if you will in the peanut butter market, yes, is a function of commodity input prices, right? And those have also softened a little bit. But it's equally our strategy in pricing is how do we ensure that we maintain like a dominant share, a very strong share of the total market, okay? Right? Because the margin improvement we get, because it's our own plant. Remember what I mentioned earlier, okay? So as I mentioned to you earlier, we've taken the kind of call that we've taken right now, we've taken it 5 years ago also, right? Similar. It would have gone up and down, and you'll find multiple prices in the market, not only for us, for other people also, as everybody manages different commodity prices. The key for us is to be able to deliver the right value to the consumer. If we deliver the right value to the consumer and we continue to invest behind media, which is what we are doing, we will get the growth that we require, right? And that growth will be, because we run it through our own plant, the operating leverage that we get from that gives us the margin improvement that we want. Okay? So, we don't want to make the mistake of looking for gross margin percentage improvement simply through pricing. Okay? Because in a market like India, you want that gross margin pool to grow because you get more and more consumers in your business. You continue to grow the category, and as you get more volume, your cost of production comes down, and as your cost of production comes down, your margin goes up. Okay? So that's kind of the strategic intent with which we play the category, and we are going to continue playing it like that. Because we are not going to be happy with selling a 80 crore business. That's not what we are about, right? We need to take this business to 100, 200 crores. And that we'll do only if we are able to appeal to a very large segment of consumers. Okay?
Thank you very much.
This is true in a somewhat reverse manner. where if you see Hindustan Lever has spent 40 crores last year in the calendar year. They are selling at 500 rupees a kilo, right? 350 grams for 175 rupees. But the revenue is not coming, right? The revenue is not coming. So the idea that price very high, spend lots of money and, you know, nirvana is there, it's flawed. It doesn't work like that. Okay. And if you go back to start that I had shared probably in the July board meeting, I had shown how this plays out. That if you continue to target very high prices and say I'm going to spend lots of money, you're actually going to build an EBITDA negative business. It could, at best, it could be an EBITDA 5-6% business. Okay. So yeah, I hope that was not too complex answer for the question, but I hope.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bimal Sampat, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Now, I had three questions, but two of them have been answered. One remains. At the last investor meet, you had said that you will finalize the capex plans for FY23 in this board meeting. So, and second thing is, when do you plan to start building the West Bengal plant?
Okay, thank you. Yes, Mr. Samad, you're absolutely right. And I did, you had sent those questions to Jyoti. And yes, two of those got answered. You're right. So, our capex plan, we've initiated discussions with the board, right, in terms of FY23. Right? We tend to have the first conversation normally in the board in January. And then the final conversation and, you know, nailing down of the numbers is done in the April board meeting. For next year, we're looking at an increased capex versus this year. This year, we put it at about 30 crores. Next year, we're going to be looking probably, our initial conversations are in the region of about 45, with the bulk of the money being spent on chocolate plant and lines, because we'll be quadrupling the capacity, as we mentioned, and also on infrastructure. And in addition, we will also start working on our a larger plant meat line. Our first pilot scale plant meat line is, I think, reached the ports or something already, right? So I think in some months we should be finished with testing of that, and hopefully that should go well, and then we'll be making some investments there. But it's not at this stage final. As I said, it's our first round of conversation, and we'll see how it goes. Okay. So in April, I'll be able to tell you what the final figure is. It's certainly going to be more than this year. This year, we had mentioned to you about a figure of 30 crores. How much more it is, I'm not quite sure till we finally get a consensus on that. All right. And as far
on
as, on the Calcutta plant, that is not part of our capex planning for FY23 because that will require an additional investment. It could be anywhere in the region of 8 to 10 crores. And that money we feel right now is better spent on plant and machinery and also building at Jhagadia. Right? So we have 5 phases of Jhagadia. We would rather build out one more phase of Jhagadia because that will be required as we are scaling up the chocolate business. Right? So we'll be going to from one to four lines. Our peanut butter business will grow. A lot of our entire pasta piece is being done in Jhagadia. So we are thinking right now that we'll spend that money on expansion at the Jhagadia facility itself, rather than opening one more front in Calcutta. That land is there with us. It's an adequate land to build a reasonable size plant as far as we are concerned. But we'll keep it on hold. We can also meet some of the needs of that plant from the Mangalore plant in Guwahati. It's a reverse trade back to Calcutta, so it doesn't cost us that much money. So in terms of choices, this seems to be the most pragmatic choices for deployment of capital at this point in time. Okay. Once everything is nailed down, Mr. Sampat, in the April board meeting, we'll give you a clearer idea.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. And I'm sorry, I should have answered these anyway, since you sent them in advance. Okay. With that, ma'am, I think we can close. I just want to say thank you to everybody. Thanks for taking out the time to be with us on the call today. And thank you for being part of the team, right? Look forward to an exciting year. Cheers. All the best. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.